The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there approached a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. And Laurie Hansen will be leading the children this morning in the children's message. If you want to follow her, just follow her out the door, and they'll be gathering in those chairs to the left. Let us pray. Lord, bless my lips that I might speak your word, and bless our ears that we might hear your truth. Amen. One day, Zach, my Jewish friend and chaplain colleague at UBC, invited Marianne and me to attend the bar mitzvah for his son. We were delighted to receive that invitation and, of course, accepted it. So one December morning, early in the day, we made our way to the synagogue. As I entered, I, of course, received the kippah to put on my head and then went into the synagogue where the men were gathering. Marianne was taken to the side, to an area where the women were gathering, behind a screen in the synagogue, at a place where the men couldn't see them. It was interesting, as I was there in that service, watching the men tie their phylacteries, the small black leather boxes that they have little pieces of scripture in, to tie them to their left arm and to their forehead. And as the prayers began, the men stood praying, rocking back and forth like this. Finally, when it was time for the scripture of the day to be read from the Torah, the ark was opened, and the scroll was removed and brought out and placed on the reading table. And it was then that Aaron, the young boy, 13 years old, Zach's son, came forward to read the scripture that was appointed for that day from the Torah. And he read in Hebrew. He was a young man who now had reached that place in his life where he was recognized as someone who was on his own as far as his abilities were concerned and his responsibilities. Some of the people spoke about him, and Zach came forward and offered his congratulations to his son and then reminded him that from now on, he was responsible for his own actions. It was rather simple and quiet until all of a sudden the atmosphere changed because the women who were hidden behind the screen started throwing candies over the screen. And the men were ducking. And I was wondering, what in the world is going on? Are the women telling us, you know, we're here too, don't forget us. We can hear what's going on. We know what's going on. But later, I discovered that throwing or tossing candies has become part of the tradition in many synagogues on bar mitzvahs. It's a way of tossing as a candy, is a way of tossing sweetness or blessing upon the young man who was being bar mitzvahed. After the service, we went to an adjoining room, and there we sat down to eat. There was bagels and lox, lots of sweets, and vodka. I must say, I have never drunk vodka that early in the morning before, and I don't think I ever will again. All in all, that day at the synagogue was an exciting day for me. It was interesting. It was a learning experience. And this morning, we're invited to another synagogue. Today, Jesus is in that synagogue, and he's teaching. There's a woman there who is bent over, and we hear that story of this bent-over woman. We don't know very much about her. We don't even know her name. She is simply known as the bent-over woman. Although later in the text, near the end of our reading, Jesus does give her a name. He calls her Daughter of Abraham, acknowledging the fact that she's part of that covenant community. What we do know about this woman is that she is physically challenged. We know that she struggled for 18 years with this ailment. Luke describes her this way. He says, she's a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And as such, she was probably marginalized. She was one of those people that persons often pass by as they go down the street and see her, or turn and look the other way. And that probably was true not only on the street, but even in the synagogue as well. And not only was she passed by or ignored because of her disability, but also because she was a woman. Like every first century synagogue, the men are in front, sitting there where the rabbi is teaching, and the women, along with this woman who is bent over, are seated way in the back. And in spite of that, Jesus saw her. And when he saw her, he didn't look the other way. When he saw her, Luke says, he called her over. He called her to the front of the synagogue, where he was teaching. And now all the eyes were focused on her. He could have passed by that woman. He could have ignored her, pretended she wasn't there. Or he could have said some words, some platitudes, telling her that you're not alone in your suffering. Instead, Jesus felt her pain, felt her sorrow, and he listened. He called her. He responded to her in mercy. He called her over and said, woman, you are set free from your ailment. You are set free from your oppression. You are set free from judgment, free from shame. You're no longer under the power of this thing that has taken control of your life for so long. You're free to live in the grace and mercy of the one who loves you and who cares for you. You are precious. You are cherished. You are loved. And then he laid hands on her, and Luke says, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. No longer is she an old, bent-over woman. Now she stands tall and proud next to Jesus, the teacher, and her healer. I don't know what may have you bent over today. I don't know what may have a hold on you. I don't know if you're feeling marginalized, if you're feeling set apart or isolated. I don't know what you're struggling with or what has claimed power over your life. But I do know this. I know that we all, to some extent, sometimes live bent over. Others may not see it. Others may not even be aware of it. But Jesus knows. And he's calling you to stand up straight. He's calling you with love and compassion Just as he called that bent over woman to come forward, so he calls each of us, calls us beloved daughter and beloved son. There's still another side to this text today. After the healing, we are told, but the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. On the surface, this synagogue leader's complaint was right. His complaint is a faithful reading of the Torah. The seventh day was set aside by God for rest, and work was prohibited on the Sabbath. But the Torah was never intended to be about keeping people in their places. Instead, the Torah was about setting people free, setting them free to praise God and to serve God and neighbor. Jesus often proclaimed as he went about his ministry, the kingdom of God has drawn near. And when God's kingdom draws near, things like this begin to happen. The marginalized are brought to the center. The impure are touched and healed. The weary and the tired are given rest. In one sense, Jesus is breaking the Sabbath. But in another sense, he is fulfilling the commands of Sabbath rest. For Jesus, grace and compassion took precedence over the law, over those Sabbath requirements. Jesus heals this woman who has been bent over for 18 years. The woman didn't ask to be healed. Jesus just noticed her, saw her sitting there in the back, and saw that she needed rest. The hypocrites accused him of breaking the Sabbath. But the essence of the Sabbath is not in what it forbids, but rather in what it requires. The Sabbath requires rest. And who in this lesson that we heard today is the one who needs rest? It's that woman who has spent 18 years bent over. Jesus comes and gives her rest, gives her Sabbath. Jesus honored the Sabbath, honored God on the Sabbath by putting into practice God's mercy and justice and compassion in this woman's life. This woman who had suffered for those 18 years. There's no better way to honor God on this day that we set aside for worship than to follow Jesus in practicing God's mercy and God's compassion. There's no better way for us to honor God on this day of worship than by setting people free from all that binds them. As we gather around the table this morning, we hear again those words of forgiveness, those words that set us free, those words that give us rest. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. And here we see a glimpse of what it means to be healed, what it means to be set free, what it means to be given rest. Amen.